Okay, I'm Stefano Providi from Cisco. Proxidor is a draft that, next slide please, that is in fact the merge of three proposals that have been made and three implementations. So we found that despite the differences in the way we implemented the protocol, the service and the algorithms in order to deliver the service were significant in some cases, we find that in fact there is enough common ground between us in order to propose merge solutions. And we believe this can also be extended to other implementations. So we can come to an agreement in order to define a protocol that will serve different type of applications. Next slide, please. So the model we'll all had in our respective application implementation were typically the client server, where client can be embedded into P2P software or any other application component. Server is the Alto server delivering Alto services based on ranking, and a server is the functionality of a server is extended also such that it can act as a client. So there is also a communication between servers, still by using the same protocols, the same protocols or the same messaging, in fact. Next slide. The different protocols we had were all based on TLV encoding, mostly, which gives us a very good flexibility, extensibility, if this is the correct word, in the sense that when you define a protocol using TLV, you can define a set of mandatory information that you want in the message, and the rest can come with optional TLVs where an implementation may decide to support or not to support, but it still remains interoperable with other implementations. That's the beauty of TLV encoding, and that's what we leverage in routing protocols, for instance. The messaging, is very simplified here, as all the other solutions that are presented is request reply based, where the client requests a ranking based on different type of information I'll explain later, and the Alto server or the Proxidor server replies by ranking those IDs or IP addresses based on different criteria that could be also specified in the protocol, in the message, in the request message. Next slide. So we among the subsets of the TLVs we had in the different implementations, we found that at least we agree on this kind of terminology, the PSL and the PTL. You always have a source address that will request the service, and the service of the ranking service will concern another number of IP addresses. So this is the definition of the PSL and the PTL. Now, what is contained in a PSL or in a PTL? Well, we work with IP addresses or IP prefixes, autonomous system numbers, but also other routing information. An example is a BGP community. Obviously, as someone stated before, you may not know what is your autonomous system number, and you clearly don't know what is the BGP community associated with your BGP route for your IP addresses. But keep in mind that the protocol and the implementation are also working on different contexts than just peer-to-peer, where the client may know his autonomous system and may even know the BGP community associated with the prefix of his address. So we extend the protocol is capable of handling those routing IDs, if you wish. Yes. So the ranking system, it's based on IP routing information, routing layer information, so addresses, prefixes, and so on. The way the ranking algorithm works, well, it's based also on different criteria. The default one, the basic one, I would say, is leveraging the routing databases. So essentially, topology distance or routing distance between the requester and the list of addresses that he sends. So we leverage routing protocol databases, OSPF, ISIS, BGP. It is also based on static configuration, policy configuration, in order to override the routing visibility that the routing layer gives you. And one implementation, at least, takes into account also resources utilization information. These can be real-time measurements with all the implication that it means, and also implies just the resources at the routing layer, so link utilization, average bandwidth availability, and so on. The sources of the ranking information, as I said, are given essentially by routing protocols databases, so we didn't invent any new interface because the interface with routing protocols is well known. And we have extended the number of ranking sources, I mean ranking information sources, to application specific. So in some cases we run the implementation in a content distribution network, and so we collect also performance data from the application level, and we integrate this into the ranking. Obviously, in the implementation, so in the architecture and the implementation, the operator, the network operator, the service provider, doesn't publish anything in terms of algorithms, in terms of policies in how to compute the ranking, obviously, the algorithms that are used to rank are not intended to be published or standardized anyway. Yes. I have to speed up. So very rapidly, nothing really new here. I think it's in line with all the other implementations and solutions that are being presented. So request reply based, you send a request, you get a reply, and in the middle, your request has been ranked. The differences could be in the way you express the ranking, either by, just as Richard says, just pure ranking, or with a ranking value to try to determine if the delta between the ranking is significant or not. Finally, the client may override the ranking or part of the ranking. I mean, it's on the responsibility of the client, obviously the protocol doesn't enforce the utilization of the client. Yes. So in summary, what do we have here? Well, we have a protocol that serves already different implementations. So this is kind of a good news. It means that even if we have a different vision on how to address the problem, the protocol we have to specify may work for different implementations. It is extensible in the sense that by the way we encoding, it's not a big deal to add a new TLV, new functionalities, and still be interoperable and backward compatible. We will come with a second draft, probably with the details of the protocol specification. Today, those are the names of the three implementations that exist, so Proximity, Oracle, and EDIPS. So the next step for us, and I think it is also in line with what has been presented in the requirement draft, is that we do already have multiple implementations. We do not expect that only one implementation will exist, but it may be difficult to address all the specific requirements of all those implementations into a single definition and complete definition of the protocol. So our suggestion would be to come to an agreement on a on a basic sets of functions and packet formats, encoding, TLV, whatever, that the protocol should do that will serve as a base for all implementations. And then work by extensions, similarly to what has been done over the years in writing protocols with extensions to ISIS, OSPF, and BGP. I'll stop here. And any questions in the next session? Oh, yes.
Stanislav Shulanov from BitTorrent. As has been asked at the previous two meetings, and I was waiting for you to address that somewhere, peer-to-peer clients are not going to send those lists to the server. That's been explained why, and so that use case example, that's just not going to happen. I'm trying to see what you're going to do to address that.
Stas, I think that's a very good segue for what we'll discuss in the overflow session. So given the interest of time, I would rather we discuss that during the overflow session.
Yeah, just a very short answer. We'll certainly discuss this, but in the reality, I have to say that there are applications that do this, and that's why we do have this implementation.
What fraction of internet traffic do they
carry?
I
think let's carry it to the overflow session. That's precisely why we have it.
So I just want to actually add on this by talking a bit about an implementation of the Proxydor protocol in the sense that we are having been looking at the use case of the peer-to-peer oracle here. And here the idea is, this is an animated slide, so that you have a set of peers over here. If they actually want to retrieve a candidate list, then they can actually send it to the Proxydor server for ranking. And then hopefully, of course, the Proxydor server should send back the appropriate list and the peer can actually make good decisions. Now, with regards to possible applications that might be willing to send their IP addresses to a Proxydor server, there are tons and tons of legal peer-to-peer applications that are being deployed and or are being thought about being deployed in ISPs. So keep that in mind. Now, we are interested here in the Proxydor server, and we have implemented one of them, and it's basically, the idea that we had was to keep it as scalable as possible, so it's multi-threaded, it has two different levels of actually understanding the topology, and the way that we were looking at this is in service as offered by an ISP. So we do distinguish between an internal AS topology and an external AS topology. Server implementation heavily relies on caching, currently does all the request handling across UDP, with one of the reasons that is being that even if you wanted to do TCP, you still have the problem of the TCP syn flaws that are going to be there just the way that the UDP is going to be there. Configuration, right now we have files with dynamic updates, and you have an interactive console. The implementation is done in C++ and uses the standard kind of set of tools that are available. The license is GPL, and this code will be available for download at some point in the future. Now, some initial performance study involves basically just the basic setup here, 10 routers with 3 external connections. Number of external routes was 67,000, of course. That can be increased without actually going too much in the scalability. And we had basically one client querying the server at maximum speed, with the idea of actually ranking 100 IPs for each one of the queries. And this is roughly the kind of performance numbers that you're getting as you're scaling up the number of threads. So note the minimal memory footprint of just 7.1 megabit per second. And these were experiments run for 90 seconds, and so the CPU time needs to be scaled by the number of threads. And you basically get around 10K, 20K, 27K queries per second to just give you an idea of how the performance of some of these systems can actually look like. The delays for actually doing it for multiple different clients over the local area network is in the order of a few milliseconds on average, going up to, let's say, a maximum of about 10 milliseconds. Packet losses depending on the number of clients sending, are around less than 0.5% even at these rates, and even lower than that on average. And that's where I want to stop here.
So, Richard, I'm from here. So just want to give you a perspective about potential number requests you might need to handle. For example, PP Live is one of the peer-to-peer applications. They have about 2 million to 6 million users, concurrent users. And at the very beginning, they might request like one, they do one request, peer request per second. So you're talking about 2 to 8 million requests per second. So you got to have a lot of machines to handle those requests.
This is out of a single ISP. Of course, what you're talking about is across multiple ISPs, multiple torrents. But I think, again, this is stuff we have to take probably offline.
Yes.